Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, we're starting a new sermon series, and if you'd like to join me in your Bible, you can turn to Ephesians chapter 1. This week and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking all about the very heart of our church. For me, what as the lead pastor makes our church tick? It's the vision that God has placed on my heart for Hillside Church. The church that God has given to us as a family, what God has placed on my heart as to understand the why of all of this. See, this week marks the 32nd anniversary of the planting of this church in Airdrie. It was 32 years ago on September 13th, 1992, that this body of believers was planted here in Airdrie. And God has been so faithful to carry his church, to watch over his church, to love his church, to support his church, to build his church. And there has to be a reason for that. Because 32 years ago, Airdrie was a much different place. But 32 years ago, there were good churches in Airdrie. And today, there are good churches in Airdrie. So there has to be a reason why God has chosen to continue this work. That God has said, I'm going to watch over this group of people. I'm going to build this church. I am going to work through this church. And part of the reason why God has chosen to work through us is because he's given us a vision. He's given us a people to be. He's given us a cause for existing. And so as we gather together, we don't just gather together because the Bible says we're not supposed to not give up on it and this is the most convenient meeting place for your family. For some of you, this place is dramatically inconvenient. Bill and Julie, it's a long way to get. This is not the most convenient place for you to come to church. For many of us, for some of us, like, live on the other side of town, we live out of town, we live in different. But yet God has chosen to bring this collection of people together for a purpose and for a reason. And part of that is because of the vision that he's placed in our church, who we are meant to be. But I think we have a pretty unique vision at our church here in one way. Because our vision for our church isn't about the church. Worship is done, so I'm just going to move this here because I have kicked it and punched it about 20 times this morning. So we'll take that step. But the vision for our church, it's not about our church. See, our vision for many churches, you know, the vision of the church is where the church is going. What the church is going to be. It's something like, at Hillside Church is a place where, or as Hillside Church, we are going, or at Hillside Church, we do this. But the vision that God has placed on my heart for our church, it's not about the church. It's not about where we're going, and it's not about what we're going to do. But our vision, or my vision for our church, is really about you. Who we are as a church isn't about who we are as a church. It's about the people of Cornerstone Church. Cornerstone, Hillside Church. Every once in a while that creeps back. That used to be the name of our church a few years ago, and every once in a while it still slings back into my vocabulary. But it's about who the people are of Hillside Church. It's about the persons that make up the church. Our vision is for you and for your relationship with Jesus. And so it's not about where are we going. Instead, it's about where is Jesus taking you? And as God is leading and directing his people who make up the church, his church is going to be led by his people. So where is our church going? I don't know. You tell me. You're the church. We're the church together. I don't just say this is where the church is going, but God works in you and through you and in me and through me, and together we discover where our church is going. But what I do know is what I believe that God wants to do in your life as part of Hillside Church. And then as he works in you together as a family, we will walk into all that God has for us as a church community and as a family. That's why our tagline, our motto for our church is, as family we go. Because wherever we're going together. But we're going together, and we're going to discover together all that God has for us. And so our church vision comes from a couple of verses found in Ephesians chapter 1. And in these verses, Paul is writing to this church that he planted of new Christians. Paul starts this church in the city called Ephesus. And that's why the letter is called Ephesians, is because it's written to the people of Ephesus. It's like if you wrote a letter to the church in Calgary, the letter would be called Calgarians or Airdronians, if it was written to us in the church in Airdrie. But he writes this letter to this church, and he's the founding pastor. He planted the church, he pastored the church, and he's now passed the church off to his friend, to his apprentice, to what he would call his son in the faith, a man named Timothy. But he's writing them this letter, and in this letter he begins to write about the things that he prays for them. The things that he wants to see God do in them and through them. The things that he wants God to do in them and that he wants them to see God do in them. And he prays these things. And out of these things, there's four things that I want to highlight for us. Four things that make up our vision. And then we're going to talk about the first one today. But we read in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 17, Paul writes this. He writes, I pray that the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may give you the wisdom of his Spirit. Then you will be able to understand the secrets about him as you know him better. He goes on to say, I pray that your hearts will be able to understand. I pray that you will know about the hope given by God's call. I pray that you will see how great the things are that he has promised to those who belong to him. Then he says, I pray that you will know how great his power is for those who have put their faith in him. Contained in these three verses, there's four things that Paul says that he prays for this church in Ephesus. And these four things are the ways that he wants to see God work in their lives. And these four things that Paul wants for the church in Ephesus are the same things that we want for you in your life, for the people of Hillside Church. Paul writes, I pray that you will be able to understand the secrets about him as you know him better. The first thing that we want, the first thing that we need as people, as followers of Jesus, the first part of our vision and the first thing that Paul prays for is that we would know God. That we would know God. The second, and this is what we're going to talk about today, but the other things, Paul writes, I pray that they will be able to know about the hope given by God's call, that we would know God, that we would know his hope. Thirdly, Paul writes, I pray that you will be able to see how great the things are that he's promised to those who belong to him. How great the things are that God has put in your life. That we would know God, that we would know his hope, and that we would know his purpose. That he's got a great purpose for you and for your life. And then lastly, Paul writes, I pray that you will know how great this power is for those who have put their trust in him. That we would know God, know his hope, know his purpose, and know his power. That's our vision for you. That we as a church would be a people who know God, who know his hope, who know his purpose, and who know his power. And so today, I want to begin with the first one, and I want to talk about what it means to know God. In the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 7, There's some verses where Jesus gives this description, and it's one of the most challenging, even scary, difficult descriptions anywhere in the Bible of what it means to follow Jesus. But the reason why it's scary and all of that is not because of the imagery, not because it's like, imagery, but because it challenges us, and it challenges us to understand ourselves and our relationship with Jesus in a really important way, but in a way that maybe pushes on our preconceived understanding, maybe gives us a little bit to think about and a little bit to chew on and a little bit of self-reflection to do on how it is that we're following Jesus. See, in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells this short story about what it will be like when we stand before him on judgment, or for judgment. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven." What Jesus is saying here is that at the end of all of this, there's going to come a time when we stand before Jesus, and there's going to be some of us that will say, "Lord, Lord," that Jesus is going to say, you don't get to come in. See, what Jesus is saying here is that somehow just simply saying, "I'm a Christian," Just simply saying, "I'm a follower of Jesus," just simply having that confession of faith, that somehow just saying a phrase, saying some words, isn't enough. It's not enough just to get us in. It's not enough to just say that Jesus is Lord. It's not enough to just declare what we are. See, the Bible will tell us that we do need to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. But it will say that we also need to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth. And so Jesus is saying, don't just count on your confession. Don't just say, "Well, I've said the right things." But Jesus says, there's actually something you need to do. There's something that you need to do in order to get this entry into heaven, in order to come into the kingdom of heaven. There's something you need to do. He says, you need to do the will of my Father who is in heaven. So what does that mean? What does it mean to do the will of our Father? What is his will that we are to do? Well, before Jesus tells us what it is that we're supposed to do, he gives us a glimpse at what it is that we're not supposed to do. See, in verse 22, he'll say, many will say to me on that day. So as people are coming to Jesus and they're saying, "Lord, Lord," and he's saying, "I'm sorry, you can't come in." Many will say to him, to me on that day, "Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons in your name, and in your name perform many miracles? God, didn't we do all of these things for you?" See, immediately as people, we want to turn to our resume. We want to be able to turn to the things that we, "Look at all the things I've done for you. Look at everything I did. Look, that must mean something. That must earn me something. That must get me something." And these people, as Jesus says, "I'm sorry, you can't come in," these people will turn to Jesus and say, "Look at all the things we did for you." Now, to be clear, these are good things. These aren't bad things. These are good things. We prophesied. We spoke the word of the Lord to people. We cast out demons. We performed miracles. Jesus, look at everything we did for you. But Jesus wants to make it clear that as we look at understanding our relationship with God, that when we read that we need to do his Father's will for us, to be with him for eternity, that's not connected to a resume. That's not connected to a list of things I've done. And this is a huge challenge for us, because this is how we like to live and to operate. That in order for me to show something, I need to do something. That in order for me to show that I love my wife, I need to do things to be able to show that. That if I don't show it, am I really doing it? Because we as a people can think so similar to the people Jesus is talking about here, we can build our relationship around, or a relationship with Jesus based on the things we do. Look at how much I serve. Jesus, when they put 10 sign-up sheets at the back of the church, my name went on all 10. And I added 2 more. Look at how, God, look at, God, I served in kids ministry. What more could you ask of me? That somehow we can think like this, that how do we know that we have a relationship with God? Look at all the money I give to the church. Look at all the time I spend at the church. Look at all of the stuff that we do for the church. Look at all we do. But Jesus makes it clear that when we read that we need to do his Father's will for us, that this isn't actually connected to doing something. That they say, look at all we've done. And Jesus will say, it's not about doing anything. It's about being something. See, the Father's will for us is not that we would do all of these things. His Father's will for us is that we would be something. See, verse 23, Jesus speaks to this group that he's not inviting in. And he says, then I will tell them plainly. You just didn't do enough. I know you think you did a lot, but there were other people in the church, they did way more than you. You didn't give enough. See, I know you gave some, but there were other people in the church and they gave way more than you. And how much you gave will determine how quickly you get in here. And we'll see if there's more room for you. That we think somehow I will tell them plainly, you just weren't enough. No, that's not what Jesus says. He doesn't connect it to anything like that. He says, then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoer. Jesus will say, it's not about all the things that you did. It's not about your resume. It's not about how much you looked like we had a relationship. I didn't know you. I didn't know you. We need to know God. What's God's will that we must accomplish to be with him for eternity? It's not a to-do list. It's one thing. We need to know God. What are we made for? To know God. What should the aim and the goal of our lives be? To know God. To know him. What is the thing that should bring us more fulfillment, more joy, more purpose than anything else? Knowing God. In Jeremiah chapter 29, nope, Jeremiah chapter 9, we read this. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise boast of their wisdom, or the strong boast of their strength, or the rich boast of their riches. See, God is saying to us, God is inviting us. And you can even do this right now as I'm talking. You can have a moment of self-reflection. Take a look at your life. What are you most proud of? What do you see as the thing that defines you, as a person? Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your spouse. Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's your grandkids. Maybe it's your job. For many of us, it's our job. Maybe it's the amount of money you have. Maybe it's your degree. Maybe it's a specific skill set that you offer the world. Maybe it's certain accomplishments and awards that you have. Maybe it's a hobby. And God even calls this one out. Maybe it's how ripped you are. Maybe it's how much time you spend in the gym. God calls, it's in the verse. He says, let not the strong boast in their strength. Maybe it's just how buff you are. But God reminds us that even though all of these things can be a part of our lives, and none of them are bad, and none of them are wrong, those things are not meant to be the most important thing, the thing that defines us, the thing that gives us purpose. In verse 24, we'll read this. But let the one who boasts boast about this, that they have the understanding to know me. Knowing God. But what does it mean to know God? What does that mean? So we establish it's important that we know God, that we know him. So what does that mean? What does it mean to know God? Paul isn't praying that they would just be good students of God, that they would read up, that they would dive deep into all the information that they could find about God, that they would go home from church and they would search Jesus Christ on Wikipedia and just start reading and clicking links, that somehow we would learn everything that there is to know about God, that we would know everything that there is to know. That's not what we're meant to do by knowing God. Now, again, to be clear, that's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing to know everything that we can know about our God. But as we've seen, if we base our work or we base our relationship with God on the things we're doing, God says, you're not to do that. I don't know you. That if we want to learn more about the God we serve because we love him, then let's do that together. But if we're going to say, I'm going to demonstrate how much I love God by learning everything there is to know about him, Jesus says, be careful. Because your relationship with me needs to be what things come from. Not your relationship with me needs to be where the things that you do need to be the thing. What I'm trying to say. Jesus is saying, don't say, look at all of the times I serve at church. Look at all the energy that I give to church. Look at all the things that I give to church. Jesus, I must love you. Jesus is saying, start with, I love you. And then out of that love may come serving. Out of that love may come giving. Out of that love may come reading your Bible. It may come worshiping. It may come loving one another. It may become becoming a community of faith together. But start with loving God. And so when we understand that we need to know God, that it's about not doing something but being something, we need to understand then what it means to be someone who knows God. But what we need to understand about the word know is the way that the Bible writers would have understood what they were saying. The way that the Bible uses it has a very specific context and meaning. See, when we use the word know, I can know all kinds of things. I can know all kinds. I can tell you that the capital of Russia is Moscow. I can tell you that. I can read up articles, and I could try and do my best to tell you what life in Lagos, Nigeria is like. I can do that. I have an ability to read up and understand quantum physics. Well, I don't, but other people do. But I have an ability to know things. But that's not what the Bible is talking about when it says know. See, when the Bible talks about knowing something, the way that they understood that word was to know something was to experience that thing. And so if I was to talk about what life is like in Russia, or life is like in Nigeria, or quantum physics, or whatever it may be, that if I haven't experienced that thing, I actually don't know that thing. A good way that we can see this is in the story of Jesus' birth. An angel appears to Mary and tells Mary, you're going to have a baby. And Mary is confused by this. And when we go to the best, like, literal kind of word-for-word translation of Mary's objection to the angel, what we read is Mary saying this. Then Mary said to the angel, how can this be? Since I do not know a man. Now, what Mary is not saying here is up until this point in my life, I've never met a guy. Up until this life, I've only ever known females. I've never met a man. How am I going to have a baby? I've never even met someone who I could have a baby with. When she says, I do not know a man, it doesn't mean that she's never met a man. And that's why translations that try to bring a more of an understanding will say something like this. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? That understanding the knowledge is not just, oh, well, it's hard because Mary's never met a boy. That's not what that means. It means that there's a deeper understanding of the word know. And so when we're called to know God, we're not just to somehow make sure that we're simply knowing about God. That is important. But it's about knowing God, about experiencing God. That as a church, we wouldn't just learn about God, but that we would experience the presence of God. That we would come to church and we would experience the presence of God when we gather together. And that would just be a drop in the bucket. Because we would experience the presence of God as we drive home. If we would experience the presence of God as we take a nap on the couch this afternoon. That we would experience the presence of God all throughout our days and our weeks. That we would know God, not just know God, but that we would fully experience God. This is at the core of what our vision for you is. That you would know God. That on the day when we will all stand before Jesus, he wouldn't say to you, he wouldn't say to me, he wouldn't say to any of us, depart from me, I never knew you. But what our hope and my prayer is that you would stand before God and he would say to you, you went to Hillside Church. I know you. Come on in. Let's pray together. Father God, we thank you that even as we sang about this morning, how your love drove you with all of the self-sacrifice that we could ever begin to understand, your love drove you to build a relationship with us. And so God, I pray that we would be driven to be in relationship with you. God, that we would know you, that we would experience you, that we would experience your love and your grace and your mercy, that we would experience your hope and your purpose and your power, that we would experience the fullness of who you are in our lives. God, that we would not stand before you and somehow you would say, I don't know you. But God, for each one of us today, would you open our eyes afresh and anew to a deeper experience with you? That from wherever we sit now, God, may we be able to take a step and another step and another step deeper and deeper into an experience with you. That we would know our God. That we would know our Savior, that we would know our Father in heaven. And God, I pray that we would, as we come to know you, God, may our knowledge of you become the most important thing. Become the thing that our life is built on. Become the thing that we live and move and operate out of. God, may we love you first and live out our lives from there. God, I thank you for your overwhelming, never-ending love for us that will chase us up every mountain, that will tear down every lie. God, I thank you for your love for us. God, may we be a people who know and love and experience you. God, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for the way that you love us. And God, may we know you more. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the drop-down. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go.
Come on, we sing together.